Please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading there in a minute. I'd like, again, to take this opportunity to welcome everyone that's out this afternoon. We're thankful for your presence. Again, I would like to express my appreciation for being invited to speak here. As I said, I love to preach, and I especially appreciate the opportunity to do it here. I remember when this building was built. I remember the first time we assembled in this meeting, in this house. There's a lot of memories over the year. And this afternoon, our daughter Lee is here, and Chris just came in a little bit ago. So I don't know the last time the four of us have been here together. So I'm very thankful for this opportunity. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We looked at this verse this morning, Colossians 3:16, in regards to singing. This afternoon, I want us to look at it from a different light when it talks about the Word of Christ. And I want us to look at what is the Word of Christ, what is the Word of God. And it says, let the Word of God or Christ richly dwell within you. Why is a study of the Word of God important? I believe we do not truly understand how awesome and mighty and powerful the Word of God is, and that it is supposed to dwell within us and be part of us. I believe we do not stop enough to consider that we have the mind of God revealed to us. I believe sometimes we don't really believe that we are going to be judged by it. Why do I believe that? I believe some don't believe that because of the attitude and the actions I see manifested by some Christians today. Do you think I've gone too far with that assertion? Well, let me ask it this way. Could I preach what some Christians practice? Could I preach you don't have to worry about controlling your eating, it's okay to be a glutton? Could I preach it's okay for the sisters to wear low necklines that reveal too much flesh, or to wear skin-tight clothes? Could I preach it's okay to show up for services whenever you feel like it? Could I preach the first two songs aren't really part of the worship service, just come anytime you feel like it? What if I showed up late? What would you think of me if I did that? Well, for some reason, the church over the last few years has become silent. And when we don't speak the truth, and by that I'm not referring to misleading somebody, but when we don't speak the truth, when we don't state the whole truth and hold some of it back, we put souls in danger. Galatians 4:16 says, "Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth?" Friends, the church needs to tell the truth today and speak up loud and clear, or tomorrow the differences between conservative congregations and liberal congregations will be even more fuzzy. It's important that we understand what the Word of God is and that we let the Word dwell within us and share it with others. You see, it's so important that we understand what the Word of God is. It's so important that God not only revealed to man his will through the written word that it might be preserved for all time, but it's so important that God sent his son, Jesus, the word, in fleshly form, so that we might understand with our eyes what the Word is. And we must let the Word, the Bible, and let the Word, Jesus, dwell within us. And it's so important that God gave us many word pictures to help us understand what His Word is. So, we're going to spend just a few short minutes and look at six different word pictures to help us better understand what the Word of God is. Some people think that the Word of God is just ink on paper. It's just a bunch of words in a book. And if that's what you believe, hopefully you'll have a different perspective of God's Word after we finish our study. What is the Word of God? First, the Word of God is a lamp. Let's turn to Psalm 119. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, we read, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Why is the word of God a lamp unto my feet? Well, God's word, it illuminates. It shows the way. It shows where there are dangers. And there are a lot of dangers out there that we face. If you think about your house, you go home tonight, it's dark, you turn all the lights off, you could probably find your way through your house. You might stumble over a thing here and there, but you could find your way through your house. But how about the world? If we are in the world in darkness, can we stumble through the world and find our way through it? No, there are too many dangers out there. That light, the Word of God being a light, it's going to illuminate and show us the way to maneuver through the world. As I was saying, this lesson this afternoon is going to be a lot of word pictures, and I'm going to use a lot of illustrations to help illustrate those word pictures. But when I was growing up, we had this really big old barn. And some of you may remember it before my dad tore most of it down and just left one small part of it. But it was, to me, when I was little, it was huge. And it was so neat when I got big enough that I could go out there at night and, like, take a lantern and light it and do stuff in the barn. But it also is really spooky, because I might hear something up in the loft or something over there, but I couldn't see it, because that lamp, it just illuminated an area close to me. Now, that's what the Word of God is. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's not like one of those mag lights or a beacon that you turn the light on and it'll light up a huge area. God doesn't want us to see. He doesn't want me to see. I can't see beyond that door right now. He doesn't want me to see beyond that, beyond what's outside. He doesn't want me to see what's beyond next week, next month, next year. God wants, as I said this morning, to keep me close to Him and to keep you close to Him. That's why He explains that His Word is a lamp unto our feet, where we take one step at a time with God. And we need to spend time in that Word so that we know where we are. We need to keep that lamp close to us. If you have a lamp like that and you get away from it over here, you're going to be in the dark. You got to keep that lamp. You got to keep God's Word close to you. God's Word is a lamp. And when we let the Word of God richly dwell within us, that lamp should burn brightly. And we ought to use that lamp to teach and admonish in no uncertain terms, because the eternity of souls is at stake. What is the Word of God? The second thing I'd like for us to consider is the Word of God is a fire. And for that, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. And in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29, we find, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock?" Why is the Word of God of fire? Well, it enlightens, warms, and penetrates and consumes every part it has access to it. And when it's communicated to the true prophet and to us, it's a fire that's shut up in our bones that cannot be contained and must be released. If we turn back in Jeremiah to chapter 20, and my pages are stuck there, just Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, but if I say I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. It's this fire that is within us. And it, when it's released, then it's like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. But we'll come back to that in a minute. But the Word of God is like a fire. I had this big old silver maple tree, kept dying, falling apart. I had different people trim branches off of it. And then finally, I had somebody take it all the way down. It must have been in diameter, you know, this big. It was a really big tree. Silver maple is not good for firewood. So I had all of this wood, and then I had this huge stump in the ground. And I thought, I know what I'd do. I'll take all that wood and start a fire and burn out the stump, and then I'll get rid of both problems that I had, getting rid of the wood and that stump. So I started doing that, and I took my tractor and a blade, and I pushed dirt up all around it. So I had this wall and then this fire going in there. And then, like, every day, I would roll on a couple more big chunks of wood. And that fire just kept burning and burning. You know, it wasn't a huge roaring fire, but it just kept burning. And eventually, it burnt down and burnt the stump and the root system out of the ground because of all of that intense heat and energy that was in that fire. And that went on for, like, 2 or 3 weeks. And it burned it out. And that was like one of the neatest fires I've ever seen. But when you think about that fire and the heat and the energy that was in that, just think about the wildfires in California for a minute that spread and wipe out millions and millions or billions of dollars of property. That little fire was nothing compared to those wildfires that you hear and read about. And when you think about those fires are nothing compared to that fire that we call, that ball of fire that we call the sun. That if the sun and earth were to get too close, the earth would be melted. That's an intense fire. But the Word of God, the sun is nothing compared to this fire and what it can do. The Word of God is like a fire. And the Word of God should richly dwell within us, and we become on fire. And something when I was thinking about this aspect of the Word of God and fire, when we talk about the world being destroyed by fire, God's going to use fire to destroy the world. You know, I wonder if in some way that it has some reference to his word and the judgment on us. It's just amazing when you think about the Word of God being a fire. And we ought to use this fire to teach and admonish in no uncertain terms because the eternity of souls is at stake. But how would you compare your spiritual fire? Is it like a little match that burns for a few seconds and then goes out? Is it like a stump that burns for weeks? Is it like a California fire that will flame up big and spread and spread and spread? Is your fire like that ball of fire we call the sun? Something we need to think about. Well, what is the Word of God? The Word of God is a hammer, our third word picture. And again, in Jeremiah chapter 23, we'll read the verse again. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock. Why is the Word of God like a hammer? Well, the Word of God strikes hard and sure, or at least it should. I want to give you two examples with this. And one is with a sledgehammer. And I've said this over and over, no brag, just fact, but I imagine I could do twice as much with a sledgehammer as most guys half my age because I know how to use a sledgehammer. And I've seen people out take a sledgehammer, pull it back over their back and their head, and then flail and swing and swing and swing with them, and they wear themselves out. But if you take a sledgehammer and you pull it back and you let it swing and go up and hit something, and then you do that again, let it hit something again, and you just let the hammer do the work, it'll start and make a crack and something will crumble and you'll accomplish your job. You need to know how to use a hammer. The Word of God is a hammer. Do we know how to use it? Another example, just think if you were building, say, a detached garage at your house. You have a contractor come out. He's supposed to do the work. You're up Monday morning. You're excited that he's there to get started. And you look out your window, and he's just sitting out there, sitting on a chair, drinking a cup of coffee. You think he's probably getting ready. A couple hours go by, and you go out and, hey, buddy, you know, aren't you going to do any work today? Well, I forgot my hammer. What can you expect me to do? I forgot my hammer. You know, what would you think of somebody like that? So, say the next day, he shows up, and you're trying to keep an eye on him, and you're out there watching him, and he picks up his hammer, and it's like he doesn't know which end to use. He's using the wood part to drive nails. He's looking at the claw part. He doesn't know. What would you think of a person like that? But then what's the application? You know, the Word of God is like a hammer. This is a tool that we use. Do we know how to use it? Do we understand it? Did we come today and not even bring our hammer with us? When we go out into the world tomorrow to do our work, are we going to take our hammer with us? Do we know how to use it? The Word of God is like a hammer. People are lost, and they're looking for truth. If I stand up here and just tell stories, then I have failed. If that's what I do, then I've wasted my time, I've wasted your time, and I've shunned to declare the whole counsel of God, and I've given Satan an advantage to the battle of our souls. We must speak up and speak out with God's Word. We must not be afraid to call sin where we see it. If it's gossip, covetousness, materialism, gluttony, lasciviousness, being a busybody, pride, hey, look what I've done, selfishness, any of that. We need to use our hammer, the Word of God, as a tool to accomplish the work that God has given us to do. God's Word is like a hammer, and when the Word of God richly dwells within us, we become a hammer. And just think about that for a minute. When it richly dwells within us, what is richly? What is rich? Is anybody here rich? You know, I'm just guessing most people would say no, because rich, you think, that's more than I've got now. That person over there is rich. They have more than I do. But when the Word richly dwells within us, that's more than we have now. That's an exceeding amount. That's an abundance. Do we want the Word to richly dwell within us, or are we willing to settle for just a small pittance amount? It should exceedingly dwell within us. And that hammer, we should use the Word of God as a hammer and let it strike hard and sure. Not to destroy somebody, but to destroy the sin in people's lives. You just keep letting it swing just repeating over and over, let the hammer do the work, and we'll crush down those walls and we'll reach people. And we can do that with God's word. Friends, we ought to use this hammer to teach and admonish in no uncertain terms, because the eternity of souls is at stake. What is the word of God? The word of God is a mirror. And let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses beginning in verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. The word of God is a mirror. This is a very simple but deep metaphor. When we hear the doctrine of God, we cannot help but discover our own character and shortcomings. And when we stop looking in that perfect law of liberty, we forget what manner of man he was. This is a giant warning for us. We must continually, daily look into this mirror, God's word. It's just like with the lamp. We must keep it close to us for every step that we take. This is like a mirror. We must continually look into it daily to see how we are doing. And we need to examine ourselves with all of it, and examine all of ourselves with the word, not just one small part. When I was growing up, you know, there were six of us boys. We had one bathroom, one mirror in that bathroom. You know, it's you didn't spend a lot of time looking at yourself in the mirror. And I can remember when I was very small, and in the fall when our parents would take us to downtown and buy school clothes for my brothers, and I would go into JCPenney, and I thought that was the neatest thing. They had in the clothes area, they had a mirror here, one over there, and one right there, just the way this is shaped. And I could stand there and see front, back, top, bottom, full length. And you can see what an exciting childhood I had. But when you think of that, you know, what do? We want to use God's word like a compact mirror and just look at one real little part, and we don't want to look at the rest of us. But we need, God's word is like one of those mirrors that shows all around us, and we need to spend every day looking in God's word to see where we measure up and where we fall short. If we get away from that mirror, we're going to forget. We're going to forget. And then Satan is going to snatch us and get a hold of us. God's word is like a mirror. And when the word of God richly dwells within us, we become a mirror that reflects and points out the condition of our character and the character of others. People that you work with, people that you come in contact, they will see that reflection of God in Christ richly dwelling within us when they look at us. They're going to wonder, why do you do this? Why don't you do that? They're going to see that reflection and see how they measure up. And we ought to use this mirror to teach and admonish in no uncertain terms, because the eternity of our souls is at stake. Well, what is the word of God? The fifth thing that I'd like for us to consider is from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And the word of God is described as a sword. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Why is the Word of God like a sword? Well, has anybody felt this property of God's Word when it was preached? I sure have. It'll cut you right open. God's Word is like a sword. It'll cut you open and lay you bare. And we need to be careful when we use it, though, because when you think about the quality of it being a two-edged sword, when we share God's Word with somebody, yes, it will cut them open, but that two-edged sword cuts us open again. And I think the nature of that partly is to keep us humble, because we can't tell somebody what a sinner they are without remembering that our own sins nailed Christ to the cross. It's a two-edged sword. It keeps us humble. When John got out of the military and he brought gifts home for us, and he gave me, it was a Smith & Wesson special ops knife. And that thing was about this long and a big sheath. You'd pull it out. That was the sharpest knife I had ever seen. He said, Dad, you know, you work in some rough places sometimes. Here's something, you know, shouldn't worry about going to those places. So I kept it with me for a while, and I thought, I got to get rid of this thing. I didn't like taking it out. It was too sharp. So I gave it away to somebody that's a hunter that again knew how to use it. But the Word of God is described as a sharp and powerful two-edged sword. And we need to consider that. We need to use it. Again, we need to know how to use it. And we need to remember when we use it, keep our eyes open, because it's going to keep us humble when we're teaching others. It's a discerner not only of thoughts, but also of my intentions. That's a powerful sword. Maybe you felt the property of this sword from some part of God's Word. God's Word is a sword, and when the Word of God richly dwells within us, that sword will cut to the heart, and it will open us up, and we will be laid bare. And we ought to use this sword to teach and admonish in no uncertain terms, because the eternity of souls is at stake. What is the Word of God? The Word of God is a diet. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And also, if we turn to Hebrews chapter 5, and beginning at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And also in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3, it talks about shepherds that feed the flock. But we have this picture of the Word of God as being a diet where we long for the milk. Why is the Word of God like a diet? Let's make a few observations. God's Word is our spiritual food. And just like with physical food, we must first ingest God's words. We have to take it into us. We must ingest it on a regular basis. Now, how often do we eat physical food? Just once a day, or do we like to eat it all day long? How often do we like to take in our spiritual food? Once a week? Or do we like to feast on it all day long? We must not only ingest it or take it in, we must also digest it. We must break it down so it becomes part of us. We must continually take on more complex food, meatier food. We must study it, break it down, and then it will strengthen us and help make us grow. If we don't do this, we cannot grow. If we don't do this, we cannot be healthy. If we don't eat a balanced diet, we are going to be lacking what we need, and we will become sick. It's interesting, the examples that God uses to teach us what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to act. And when you think about comparisons with Christians, you know, I've never read where a Christian is compared to a turtle, never read where a Christian is compared to a sloth. And in fact, we're commanded not to be slothful, but we do read where Christians are compared to sheep. And one of the interesting things, if you've ever seen sheep when it's time to feed them and they're out grazing in the field and the shepherd calls them, do you know what they do? They all come running as fast as they can. They all come running as fast as they can when it's time to be fed. They want to be the first one there. They want to be the first one fed. Now, again, making application, if we are sheep, what is our desire to be fed? And the physical food that we eat is nothing compared to the spiritual food. What is our desire to get to that spiritual food? And if we don't have that desire, you know, there's an indication that there's something wrong with us. And just like a shepherd, when he watches the sheep that come, those that come late, they may be lame, they may have a problem, they may have some disease, because it shows up in their appetite. And make the comparison with the church. And if I were absent from a service, I would hope and expect that one of my shepherds would call me to check up on me. Not because they're being busy or nosy, but because they love us and they have concern for our souls. But the Word of God is a diet. And when we let the Word of God richly dwell within us, then we can grow and we can be spiritually healthy. And we ought to use this food to teach and admonish in no uncertain terms, because the eternity of souls is at stake. So, what is the Word of God? The few things that we looked at. Number one, the Word of God is a lamp. Number two, the Word of God is a fire. Number three, the Word of God is a hammer. Number four, the Word of God is a mirror. Number five, the Word of God is a sword. And number six, the Word of God is a diet. Do we understand how important the Word of God is? So important that God had it recorded for all generations. So important that God sent the Word in flesh. So important that God has given us so many ways to illustrate what His Word is to us. Do we let His Word mold us and shape us? Do we let the Word of God richly dwell within us? I hope we understand this a little bit better. I hope we esteem and value and reverence God's Word more today and tomorrow than we did yesterday. And just in case you didn't pick up on it the first six times I said it, I want to say it one more time. We must let the Word of God richly dwell within us and teach and admonish in no uncertain terms, because the eternity of our souls is at stake. Friends, we hold the most powerful thing on earth right here in our hands. If we turn to Romans chapter 1, it says in Romans chapter 1, 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power. This power is from the word dunamis, which we get our word dynamite. The power of God. The power of God is more powerful than a stick of dynamite. The word of God is more powerful than a truckload of dynamite. The word of God is more powerful than a nuclear warhead. It's strong enough to blast man out of sin and blast sin out of man. You know, we hold something in our hands that is so powerful, it can send us to heaven for an eternity in the presence of God, or it can condemn us to an eternity in hell of suffering and punishment with the devil. Do you believe it? Then why not act on it? Friends, if you don't take the word, don't take God's word lightly. If you do, then it's just like I said earlier, it's just ink on paper, it's just a bunch of words. But take hold of the power. Let God's word richly dwell within you. Obey it today. Obey it right now. Why don't you do that and come forward as we stand and sing.